الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على افضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الامين وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين اما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في اول سورة العنكبوت اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الف لام احسب الناس ان يتركوا ان يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون ولقد فتنا الذين من قبلهم فليعلمن الله الذين صدقوا وليعلمن الكاذبين أم حسب الذين يعملون السيئات أن يسبقونا ساء ما يحكمون من كان يرجو لقاء الله فإن أجل الله لآت وهو السميع العليم ومن جاهد فإنما يجاهد لنفسه إن الله لغني عن العالمين والذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات لنكفرن عنهم سيئاتهم ولنجزينهم أحسن الذي كانوا يعملون ووصينا الإنسان بوالديه حسنا وإن جاهداك لتشرك بي ما ليس لك به علم فلا تطعهما إلي مرجعكم فأنبئكم بما كنتم تعملون والذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات لندخلنهم في الصالحين ومن الناس من يقول آمنا بالله فإذا أوذي في الله جعل فتنة الناس كعذاب الله ولئن جاء نصر من ربك ليقولن إنا كنا معكم أوليس الله بأعلم بما في صدور العالمين وليعلمن الله الذين آمنوا وليعلمن المنافقين وقال الذين كفروا للذين آمنوا اتبعوا سبيلنا ولنحمل خطاياكم وما هم بحاملين من خطاياهم من شيء إنهم لكاذبون وليحملن أثقالهم وأثقالا مع أثقالهم وليسألن يوم القيامة عما كانوا يفترون ولقد أرسلنا نوحا إلى قومه فلبس فيهم ألف سنة إلا 50 عاما فأخذهم الطوفان وهم ظالمون فأنجيناه وأصحاب السفينة وجعلناها آية للعالمين صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي اللهم ربنا ألهمنا رشدنا وأعذنا من شرور انفسنا اللهم ارنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وارنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى اللهم اجعلنا من عبادك الصابرين اللهم افرغ علينا صبرا وتوفنا مسلمين آمين يا رب العالمين Dear brothers and sisters and sons and daughters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As I explained last night, the fifth part of our selected course of study of the Quran relates to the fourth condition of salvation, success, falah, that are given in Suratul Asr, that is tawasi bis-sabr, which is a necessary and inevitable sequel of tawasi bil-haq. Whenever there will be tawasi bil-haq, preaching of the truth, there will be resentment from the evil doers, from the exploiters, from those who rule over people, who exploit people. So they will never like that Deenul Haq, the just social order, should be established. There has resentment and opposition.
And they are necessary that those people who have taken upon this job, upon themselves, this job, they should exhort each other, they should persuade each other to have sabr. What's the meaning of this sabr? The general translation of this word, and I think it's correct, we can translate it in many ways: patience, common, forbearance, fortitude, and steadfastness. I think these four words are very close to each other, and also to the general meaning of the word sabr. But to have a deeper understanding, deeper insight, which the Arabs call fiqhul lugha, the deeper understanding of the language, let me tell you, the as-sabr, this word is used in Arabic language for a herbal medicine which is called aloe. It is very bitter, very bitter. In Urdu and in India, I think this word has come from Hindi, from Indian languages to English. Elwa, we call it in Indian language, elwa, and in English, aloe. And it is used in herbal medicine, it's very bitter. And in the same way, if something has become very sour, unable to take, then it is referred to by the same word. So anything which is difficult to swallow, due to its bitterness, its sourness, or some unpleasantness in its taste, for that this word is used in Arabic language in different forms. So actually, we have a proverb in Urdu language, kadwe ghoot bharna. Whenever you have some unpleasant conditions and you have to face them, so you have to bear them, although they are unpleasant. So we refer to that condition in Urdu language in its proverbial form, kadwe ghoot bharna. And that is actually the exact sense of this word of sabr. And I can't help quoting two couplets from Urdu poetry. Talkhiyon ke jaam khush hokar chadhana zindagi, kha ke toofan ke tamache muskarana zindagi, khidr ki indaad se sahil pe aana maut hai, aur maujon mein ulaj kar doob jana zindagi. So actually this is human character. He must take upon himself, if he has taken up some ideology, some higher goal in life, then he should be ready to suffer. He should be ready to make sacrifices. And if he runs away, it means he is not a man of character. So he shouldn't be called a man then. Actually, he is like an animal, as Quran says, Ulaika kal anam bal hum adall. They are like cattle, rather they are worse than the cattle. I also told yesterday that this sabr is used in four different forms. Sabr alat ta'ah, to have patience on obedience, because the commandments of the Sharia, sometimes they are very bitter. As I gave the example, in very cold weather, in the morning, where there is no arrangement for hot water, but you have to stand up and you have to make wudu, maybe with icy cold water, and you have to offer the prayer. It's mandatory. It's fard. So that is sabr alatta, all the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to fulfill, you have to obey. Although this might entail some unpleasant condition for you. The second is sabr anil ma'asiyah. There's some sin, it seems to be pleasant. Sensual gratification, you can get some pleasure, timely pleasure from it, but because it is haram, it is not permissible, you restrain from it. So this is sabr anil maasiya, that is sabr from sin or disobedience. So sabr ala, sabr an, in the same way, sabr on trials, tests, tribulations, persecution. If you are being persecuted, there is pain, you have to bear it. So this is sabr alal bala, sabr alal iza. Then there is the opposite of this also. There might be temptations, seduction. They may like to offer something so that you turn away from your ideals, You turn away from your cause. And as you know, the Prophet ﷺ has offered, we are ready to accept you as a king of Makkah. Leave this dawah of yours of Tawheed. If you like to marry some woman, just mention, she might belong to any family of Makkah, the highest family, and we shall arrange the marriage. If you want wealth, any amount of wealth you demand, it will be placed under your feet. If you want power, authority, we are ready to accept you as our king. Although we are not accustomed to any kingship, but we are ready to swallow this bitter pill also for you. We offer you kingship. But give away this dawah of Tawheed. So this is temptation. So actually there also you need sabr al-tama. So sabr al-ta'ah, sabr al-ma'siyah, sabr al-iza, sabr al-tama. These are the four forms of sabr. Now just to recall, in this selected course of study, in the first part we had four lessons. And each one of them has the mention of the sabr. وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Final step, final condition, that is sabr. Then ayatul birr, it ends with the words, وَالصَّابِرِينَ عَلَى الْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَحِينَ الْبَأْسِ. Those who show patience and who stand fast, and who show forbearance in conditions of pain, in conditions of hunger, and especially at the time of war, when one has to risk his life. Then in the third lesson, the second section of Surah Al-Luqman, we had, يَا بُنَيَّ أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَانْهَ عَنِ الْمُنكَرِ وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ. Because this amr bil ma'roof and nahi bil munkar is a bitter thing. People won't like it. There will be resentment. There will be opposition for you. And then you might have to face persecution. وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. It needs courage and willpower. But you have to arrange it. And finally, in the fourth lesson, we had وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. These positions, these high positions that have been mentioned in those ayat, seven ayat, from 30th to the 36th of Surah Al-Hamim al-Sajda, they are not given but only to those people who can have patience, who can show forbearance, who can have fortitude, who are steadfast. That only they can attain to this position, this high position. And then we had, at one place in the last section of Surah Luqman, this word sabr appeared in a very comprehensive form. أُولَٰئِكَ يُجْزَوْنَ الْغُرْفَةَ بِمَا صَبَرُوا وَيُلَقَّوْنَ فِيهَا تَحِيَّةً وَسَلَامًا. These people, these Ibadur Rahman, whose qualities have been enumerated in that section, they will be given in reward the high places in Jannah. أُولَٰئِكَ يُجْزَوْنَ الْغُرْفَةَ بِمَا صَبَرُوا. And this will be reward of their sabr. Here sabr actually is the sum total of all the four things. In the four previous lessons, it was one of the conditions, one of the prerequisites of salvation. But here is the most comprehensive word, it's the sum total. Because if any human being falls prey to his greed, to his lust, then he can have no iman. He can have no amal salih. He cannot perform tawasi bil haq or amr bil ma'ruf or nahi bil munkar. So actually to have iman also, you need sabr. To be able to have amal salih in your character, you need sabr. Then to do amr bil ma'ruf, nahi bil munkar, dawa ilallah, you need sabr. So actually sabr in some places of the Quran has been used as the most comprehensive word which encompasses all these four conditions. Let me quote two more places. In Surah Al-Dahr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَزَاهُمْ بِمَا صَبَرُوا جَنَّةً وَحَرِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward them for their sabr, for their patience. Jannah and Harir. They will have the beautiful residences, Jannat al-Adn, and then to wear dress of silk. In the same way, in the last part of Surah Al-Mu'minun, إِنِّي جَزَيْتُهُمُ الْيَوْمَ بِمَا صَبَرُوا أَنَّهُمْ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ.
I have today rewarded them
due to their sabr, on the basis of their sabr, because they showed sabr. They had sabr in every respect. So now they are the highest. They are the successful people. And for our mission especially, because this learning and teaching of Quran, that is the start of my mission, beginning of my mission. I have devoted 30 years of my life to this mission. And regarding this mission, two ayat from Surah Al-Sajdah are very important, where this word sabr appears in a very comprehensive form. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ فَلَا تَكُنْ فِي مِرْيَةٍ مِنْ لِقَائِهِ وَجَعَلْنَاهُ هُدًى لِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا لَمَّا صَبَرُوا وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُوقِنُونَ. Although we have been reading in the Quran, you know, the criticism of Bani Israel, that is more obvious. But at many places Quran says that not all of them are very bad people. لَيْسُوا سَوَاءً. They are not all equal. And especially in the early days, the days of King Solomon, King Daud, King Talut, you know, this was the golden period at that time. And then, you know, immediately after Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Yusha ibn Nun and his companions, they did a good job. And then at that time, there were people among his ummah who took upon themselves the mission of preaching the book and conveying the message of the book to the people, teaching the book to the people, Bani Israel. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is quoting them as a good example. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ. And we gave to Moses the book, the Torah. وَجَعَلْنَاهُ هُدًى لِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ. And this Torah we made a guidance for the whole of Bani Israel, the all nation of Bani Israel. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا. And we raised from among them, there were imams, leaders, who used to guide people with our permission. لَمَّا صَبَرُوا وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُوقِنُونَ. And this they could do only when they fulfilled two conditions. The first of those two is sabr, when they had sabr, when they had restraints. They were not after worldly wealth, worldly power. They were not after fame or name only. They were not after the lusts of this world. Unless, you know, one is saved from these lusts and greeds, وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Only then he can hope to have falah and total, you know, success. لَمَّا صَبَرُوا وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُوقِنُونَ. Two conditions are there for any ummati, any follower of a Rasul, if he has two conditions fulfilled. Now one is sabr. And number two, he should have real faith, conviction on the ayat of Allah, on the book. Because I quoted, you know, in the previous session, the ayah from Surah Ash-Shura. وَإِنَّ الَّذِينَ أُورُثُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ لَفِي شَكٍّ مِنْهُ مُرِيبٍ. When there was downfall in the former ummah, what happened was that now they had doubts about the book. Whether this book is really from Allah, you can't say. But there was doubt. So they couldn't act upon it. So the vicious circle started. But you know here, if you have yaqeen that this is the book of Allah, if somebody has the conviction that Quran is the word of Allah, number one. And number two, he can have sabr. He can be contented with, you know, simple living. No luxuries, no comfort. If he is ready for that, then he can become an imam. وَجَعِلْنَا مِنْهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا. Because these people will lead the masses. They will lead humanity. Now no Nabi is to come, no Rasul is to come. All will be the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If they want to do the job which has been entrusted to them, which the Prophet entrusted sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the last words of his sermon of the last Hajj, فَلْيُبَلِّغِ الشَّاهِدُ الْغَائِبَ. He got from people the testifying, أَلَا هَلْ بَلَّغْتُهُ. And the whole audience replied,
انا نشهد انك قد بلغت رسالتا واديت الامانتا ونصحت الامتا وكشفت الغمتا.
Then he pointed towards the heaven and then to the people. Allahumma shahadu Allah. You also testify, be a witness. They are accepting. I have conveyed your message, your word, your book to them. And then the last word, فَلْيُبَلِّغِ الشَّاهِدُ الرَّائِبَ. Now, it's the duty of those who are present here that they should convey and they should propagate this message to the humanity at large, to the whole of mankind. So for that purpose, whosoever from you or from other youth, we have spirited youth here, and maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses someone. Not only someone, chooses many of them, that they take upon themselves this mission. أَيْمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا. But they must keep in mind, they have to fulfill two conditions first. Number one, they should peep in their hearts, see to the bottom of their hearts, whether they have real conviction that this book is the word of Allah. If it is so, Mubarak. Congratulations. The first condition is fulfilled. Number two, now be ready to lead an austere life at the lowest possible level. No time of yours to be devoted to having wealth and having comforts and having luxuries and so on. All energies, all time to be devoted to the learning of Quran, teaching of Quran. As the hadith is the most famous hadith from Hazrat Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The Prophet said, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. The best among you are those who learn Quran and then teach Quran. They make this their career. This is the brightest career. خَيْرُكُمْ, the best among you. If we have any faith in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we believe in him really, that whatever he is saying it is correct, the best among you are not the millionaires, not the billionaires, not the high-practicing doctors or physicians, not the businessmen having very big or established businesses. No. The best among you are those who take upon themselves the mission and career of خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. We must search our hearts whether we really believe in the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If it is so, may Allah grant it. It should be so. Then you know two conditions as I noted in this ayah. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا لَمَّا صَبَرُوا وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُوقِنُونَ. اللهم ربنا اجعلنا منهم آمين يا رب العالمين. Now the first lesson of this part 5 of our selected course of study that we studied last night, that was Al-Baqarah ayat 153-157. We completed, so to say, our study of these ayat. But two words in these five ayat, I want to dilate upon them a little bit more. First of all, wala nablu wannakum. This is from bala yablu, and from the same root is abla yubli. From the same root is ibtala yabtali. Wa iz ibtala Ibrahim rabbuhu bi kalimatin fatammahun. Same root. What does it mean? To test, to see what is the position of something. Is it firm, strong, or it is weak? To test the firmness of character, strength of character. To test whether someone who is claiming to have faith has real faith or not. Is it only verbal attestation? Is it only lip service? Or he really means what he says? So this testing, you know, and this style in Arabic language, Thaylul Muzara, from in the beginning Lame Maftuh, and in the end Noon Mushaddad. Azrabahu, I will beat him. Azrabannahu, I will definitely beat him. No doubt about it. Af'alu, I'll do it. La af'alanna, I will definitely do it. And I told you there's no other higher mode of emphasis in Arabic language. This is the last and this is the final mode of emphasis. There can be no emphasis more. Now this word, bala yablu lalablawannakum, this is a key to the philosophy of human life according to the Quran. What's the reality of human life? What is human life? And what is the purpose? of this worldly life that we are leading over here.
This is part of our life, not the whole of our life.
So we should have a concept of a total life. What is the total life of a human being? Number two, what is this small chunk? This is a small chunk of our total life which has been taken, you know, separately. It has been separated by two deaths that I want to make clear. A death before, a death after. And there is a chunk in between. This is this life that we are leading in this world. What's the purpose of this life? Why there have been different phases of this life? And actually, in these very ayats, we find, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'oon. We belong to Allah. And to Him we will be returning. We have to return. Raji'oon, because raji' is ismul fa'il. And there's the emphasis in ismul fa'il, not verb, ismul fa'il. We have to return. We will definitely return. And inna lillahi, it can mean also, we are from Allah, and to Him we have to return. Now these two things I want to clarify somewhat. What's the Quranic philosophy of human life? First of all, Quran says, الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا. It is He who created death and life. Please note, death is also created. Death is not a negative concept, it's a positive concept. Something which is created is something positive. It has some existence of its own. Not the condition is not of non-existence. Something is existing, but not living. When we call He is dead, He is not non-existent. He is there, but He is dead. He is not now living. So actually, خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Allah created death and life so that He wants to test you, to make you pass through tribulations, trials, testings, to see who among you are the best in their deeds and their actions. This is the period of testing according to the Quran. Now, as I told you, the important subjects are always repeated in the Quran at least twice. This very subject appears now Surah Al-Mulk. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيَّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. This is Surah Al-Mulk, the first surah of the 29th part. And the last but one surah of this very part of the Quran, Surah Al-Dahr. هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا إِنَّا خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ أَمْشَاجٍ نَبْتَلِيهِ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. Didn't there was a time for this man that he was not something which should be mentioned? You know, the sperm, the spermatic fluid, everybody knows that is the beginning, that's the start of human beings, all human beings. The philosopher, the scientist, Einstein, Aristotle, Socrates, the awliya Allah, the anbiya, all were from there. هَلْ أَتَانَ الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. From that thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you. إِنَّا خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ أَمْشَاجٍ. نُطْفَةٍ أَمْشَاجٍ. The nutfa where two have joined together. This is the zygote of the modern embryology, of the fertilized embryo. From that we have created man. Nabtalihe, the same word, ibtala yabtali. Why? Why this life? This life which has two aspects. The body, animal body, as well as the soul or the spirit, which is divine. يَسَلُونَكَ عَلِ الرُّوحِ قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. Now this combination of that divine element and number two, this animal element of man, why this? نَبْتَلِيهِ, to test him. Now this testing actually is the purpose of this life. فَجَعَلْنَاهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. So we made him, we gave him difficulties of seeing and listening. Now this is actually, Allama Iqbal says, تو اسے پیمانہ امروز و فردا سے لناب جاب نہ پہم دما ہر دم جمع ہے زندگی. تو اسے پیمانہ امروز و فردا سے نہ ناپ، جا بلا فہم دوا ہر دم جمع ہے زندگی، برطرز اندیشہ سود و زیاں ہے زندگی، ہے کبھی جاں اور کبھی تسلیم جاں ہے زندگی، الزم ہستی سے تو ابھرا ہے مانند حباب، اس زیاں خانے میں تیرا امتحان ہے زندگی. علامہ اقبال ہے انٹرپریٹڈ نو دی ٹرانزیشن ٹو بی اے ٹرانسلیشن بٹ اٹس این انٹرپریٹیشن. ہیومن لائف از اے ویری لانگ ویری لانگ ویری لانگ افیئر، یو کاؤنٹ ویئر اٹ ان ایئرز اینڈ ڈیز اینڈ ویکس اینڈ سینچریز، بیکاز ون تھنگ وی نو دی ریئل لائف از دی لائف ہیئر آفٹر، اٹ از اٹرنل، اٹ از اٹرنل ناٹ ٹو اینڈ ایٹ اینی ٹائم. مین از اٹرنل ان ہز ایگزسٹنس، ہیومن لائف از ناٹ دیز 30, 40, 100 ایئرس، دیٹس آل، اٹس ویری لانگ ویری لانگ ویری لانگ. تو اسے پیمان آئے امروز و فردا سے نناپ، جا بنا پیہم دوا ہر دم جمع ہے زندگی. اٹس ویری لینتھی پروسیس، اٹس ویری لینتھی جرنی. ہند دار الآخرت لہیر حیوان لو کانو یعلمون، اینڈ اف یو بلیو ان قرآن دین قرآن سے دیٹ از دی ریئل لائف، دس از ناٹ دی ریئل لائف، دس از دا پری ایمبل، دس از لائک اے پری فیس آف دی بک. دی ریئل بک آف لائف ول اوپن آفٹر دیٹ، جسٹ ایز دیئر از اے پری فیس ٹو اے بک اینڈ دین اے بک اسٹارٹ آفٹر دی پری فیس. سو ایکچولی کیپ دس تھنگ ان مائنڈ. اینڈ ناؤ آئی ایم پوائنٹنگ ٹو ون تھنگ مور. قرآن ٹیلز اس ان مور دین ون پلیسز، کنتم امواتن فاحیاکم ثم یمیتکم ثم یحییکم ثم الیہ ترجعون. یو ور ڈیڈ، ہی ریوائیو یو، ناٹ دا یو آر ناٹ ایگزٹنگ، یو ور ڈیڈ، ہی ریوائیو یو، دین ہی ول میک یو اگین ڈائی اینڈ دین اگین ریوائیو یو ثم الیہ ترجعون. نوانا سلیم دیکھ آیا انا للہ و انا الیہ راجعون ثم الیہ ترجعون، دین یو ول بی ریٹرن ٹو ہیم. بٹ ناؤ ان دس آیا، دس از فرام دی تھرڈ سیکشن آف سورت البقرہ، کیف تکفرون باللہ وکنتم امواتا فاحیاکم ثم یمیتکم ثم یحییکم ثم الیہ ترجعون. وٹ ڈز اٹ مین؟ وی ہیو آلریڈی پاسڈ ون پیریڈ آف ڈیتھ بفور کمنگ ٹو دس ورلڈ، دین اللہ ریوائیوڈ اٹ ان دس ورلڈ، دین دس از دی لائف 30, 40, 60, 70, 80 years, 100 years. Then there will be death. There again will be a period of death. I am saying period of death. Alam-e barzakh. This is a period of death. We don't know how long it will be. It might be thousands of years. People who died 1,000 years before, they are there passing through that period of death. That is again a period. And then you know they will be revived and resurrected. And then summa ilayhi turja'un. And then you will return to him. Now, please add to it another ayah. And that is the most profound ayah of the surah, of Quran, on this subject. At the top I have given you, summa kuntum amwatan fa'ahyakum summa yumitukum summa yuhyikum summa ilayhi turja'un. That is the ayah of Surah Al-Baqarah. Those black, they are the period of death. We were dead, then Ihya Ula, then this life which we are living here, then Imaka, and then after that Ihya Sani, and then is the eternal life of hereafter. But if you look to the bottom, the middle of this, there is a Quran has quoted that when in Jahannam, in hell, people will be given punishment, they will be mourning and groaning, and they will appeal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rabbana amatta nasnatayn wa ahyayta nasnatayn fa'tarafna bi dhunubina fa hal ila khurujin min sabeel. Rabbana amatta nasnatayn, oh Lord, you put death to us twice. وَأَحْيَيْتَ نَسْلَتَيْنِ and you revived us twice. فَاعْتَرَفْنَا بِذُنُوبِنَا, now we have confessed our crimes, our sins, our evil deeds. We accept, we profess, we confess. فَهَلْ إِلَىٰ خُرُوجٍ مِّن سَبِيلٍ, is there any way of coming out of this situation? when there have been so many situations different. Twice you put death on us. Twice you revived us. Now there can be another, you know, another phase. Oh Lord, please, take us from here, take us out from here. فَهَلِرَا خُرُوجٌ مِّنْ سَبِيلٍ. It's a very important ayah of the Quran. Just imagine. It is revealing the real concept of human life according to the Quran. What is it? Now please listen towards me. First of all, we were created in the form of souls and spirits only. No bodies. That was our first creation. Quran in many places says, كَمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. As we created you for the first time. When on the day of judgment, all the humanity will be standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All human beings total, from Adam to the last man in of his progeny, man or woman, they will be standing before their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَقَدْ جِئْتُمُونَا كَمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. You have come to us as we have created you for the first time. The first time creation was only in the form of spirits of souls. We had no bodies. That was our life number one. And in that life, we made a covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَعْدُ عَلَسْتُ أَلَسْتُ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَىٰ. Am I not your Lord? Why not? Oh our Lord. Oh our Rabb. Ya Allah, you are verily our Rabb. أَلَسْتُ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَىٰ. That is that agreement. That's the covenant which we made before coming into this world. Because we were only in the form of, you may call it soul, but I would prefer the word spirit, only the spirits. We didn't have anybody. And the spirits of Adam and all his progeny were present at the same time. All human beings, the spirits of all human beings. There's a hadith, the Prophet said, Al-arwahu junudun mujannada. They are like armies, divided into different sections, groups. Al-arwahu junudun mujannada. Now you know, after that covenant, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put our spirits to sleep. Or you may call it a cold storage. That was the death number one. First life, first death. Then we were revived in this world when a body of a human being was prepared, fully capable of receiving that spirit in the womb of the mother. There's a hadith from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu that it is after 120 days in the womb of the mother that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the angel and he blows into him that embryo. The spirit which was there in that cold storage. Each one of us had that spirit. And the spirits were all present there. But now the spirit of that particular person is now blown into this body. This embryo which is prepared, which has been prepared and has been able to, now it is able to receive that spirit. And then this birth, this is our ihya'e ula. First revival. Then we live here for, I know, you know, 30, 40, 60, 70, 80, 90 years. Then we shall die again. So two deaths. First death to our spirits, which we have passed already before coming into this world. Then first life here. Then you know the second death, and then the second life. And that is going to be eternal. رَبَّنَا أَمَتَّ نَسْمَتَيْنِ وَأَحْيَيْتَ نَسْمَتَيْنِ فَاعْتَرَفْنَا بِذُنُوبِنَا فَهَلْ إِلَىٰ خُرُوجٍ مِّنْ سَبِيلٍ. And that resurrection would be with body. So that because we have earned either good deeds or bad deeds through our bodies, we earned something good through our hands and feet, eyes and tongues. So actually the reward should also come through the same organs. That body which earned these good or bad deeds must be rewarded through the same organs and through the same body, physical body. There will be a physical body after resurrection. It's not going to be only a spiritual resurrection. It's actually a bodily, physical resurrection. So this is the concept of life. Now you know how long this process is. تو اسے پیمان آئے امروز فرداب تین آپ جاویداں پہم دواں ہر دم دواں ہے زندگی. آئی واز پریزنٹ دیئر وین آل آف اس میڈ کووننٹ الستو بربکم قالوا بلا. یو ور پریزنٹ دیئر, ایوری ہیومن بینگ واز پریزنٹ دیئر, بٹ اونلی ایٹ دیٹ ٹائم ہی واز اونلی ان دی فارم آف اسپرٹ نو باڈی. دین وی کیم ہیئر ود اے باڈی. دس از دی اسمال پورشن بٹوین ٹو ڈیتھس. ون ڈیتھ وی ہیو آلریڈی پاس and the second death is going to come to us, we don't know when, and between these two deaths kuntum amwatan fa ahyaakum thumma yumeetukum thumma yuhyeekum thumma ilayhi turja'oon. This small chunk of our very long, very 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 long life has been separated as a testing period. khalaqa al-maut wal hayata. Now you see maut hayat parallel, and khalq applied to maut also, death also, and khalq applied to hayat also, life also. خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. So this is لَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ. This is the basic philosophy of human life, the reality of human life according to the Quran, and then the philosophy of this part of the human life which a man or woman is living in this world. These very limited time that we are passing, this is a testing period. قُلْ زُمِ حَفْتِي سَ تُو اُبْرَا هَ مَانِنْدِ حَبَاب. اس ریاں خانے میں تیرا امتحان ہے. Now this امتحان, this testing has two portions, two parts. Firstly, it is the testing of our nature and intellect. Whether you recognize your Lord, your Creator, your Benefactor, your Provider, your Sustainer or not. Whether you are lost in this world of matter, or you can rise above this world of matter, and you can have the consciousness of your Creator, your Lord, your Sustainer, your Benefactor, that is the test of intellect. When you have recognized Him, accepted Him again as your Lord, as you had accepted on the that day of covenant, now this thing is going to be a test of your character. Now can you stick to it? إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وأبشروا بالجنة التي كنتم توعدون نحن أولياؤكم في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة. We have read this lesson, the ayat 30 to 36 of Surah Hamim Sajda. And Quran gives us the most complete example of all these testings in the person of, in the life of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. How beautiful are the words. وَإِذِ ابْتَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنْ قَالَ إِنِّي جَعَلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. Just remember, recall, when your Rabb tested Ibrahim in many things, many big things. Kalimatin, this the mean is for tafqeen. Very big test. And he passed all of them. He fulfilled all of them. First test of his intellect. He was born in a society where all forms of shirk were prevalent. King was claiming to be sovereign. Ana rabbukum. He claimed. You know the dialogue that Quran has quoted. Hajja Ibrahim fi rabbihi anatahu Allahu al-mulk. Ana hi wa umid. He was claiming to be God. The idol worship. The idols which he broke when he went to some temple. Then the worship of the stars. All sorts of shirk were there. And in that darkness, rather darknesses of all types of shirk, he became a muwahhid. إِنِّي وَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِيَ لِلَّذِي فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. He passed successfully the test of intellect and nature. Now the resentment from the society. He had to mop the face. أَنْتَ فَعَلْتَ هَذَا بِعَلِهَتِنَا يَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ. Oh Ibrahim, you have done this to our gods. You can very well imagine the fury of that mob. Their gods smashed by Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. But the courage of the person, just imagine it. Then the father says, get out of my house. Get out of my sight. Or I will just stone you to death. وَحْجُرْنِي مَرِيْمِيَا.
That is in Surah Maryam.
أَرَاغِبُ الْأَنْتَانَ آلِهَةِ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمِ
لَئِنْ لَمْ تَنْتَهِ لَأَرْجُمَنَّكَ وَاهْجُرْنِي مَلِيًّا.
Oh Ibrahim, are you turning away from my God? From my God?
If you don't return, I will stone you to death. And instantaneously go out of my sight. قَالَ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكَ سَأَسْتَغْفِرُ لَكَ رَبِّي إِنَّهُ كَانَ بِي حَفِيًّا. He was to face the king. But he saw eye to eye with the king. فَإِنَّ رَبِّي يَعْتِ بِالشَّمْسِ مِنَ الْمَشْرِقِ فَاتِ بِهَا مِنَ الْمَغْرِبِ. I believe in that Allah who makes sun rise from the east. If you claim to be God, well, just for one day, you give the command to the sun that it should rise from the west. فَبُهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرَ. There was no answer. Nothing of the sort. He had to keep quiet. Then he was thrown in fire. بے خطر کود پڑا آتش نمرود میں اس عقل ہے محو تماشائے لبے بام ابھی. Jump into it. No apologies. No going back. Then he left his home and heart and country, traveling all his life. Now he is in Syria, now he is in Egypt, now he is in Hijaz, now he is in Palestine. All this time, preaching the Tawheed of Allah. And the last examination, the most severe test, at the age of 100 years, and having only one son, which he got after praying Allah, رَبِّ حَبْلِ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ فَبَشَّرْنَاهُ بِغُلَامٍ حَلِيمٍ. And when that son came of age, 13 years old, he was now running about with him, helping him in the north, all works. فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَاهُ السَّعْيَ قَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى قَالَ يَا أَبَتِ افْعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرُ سَتَجِدُنِي إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الصَّابِرِينَ. This is the last test. That old man of 100 years. And he became ready, not only became ready, he did his job to sacrifice Ismail, his only son. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to lose him. Here the examiner, you know, he had to stop. وَنَادَيْنَاهُ أَيَّا إِبْرَاهِيمُ قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ رُؤْيَا إِنَّا كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ إِنَّ هَذَا لَهُوَ الْبَلَاءُ الْمُبِينُ. Just imagine. The examiner is saying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, verily this test was very great. Ibrahim, we have passed this on. وَإِذِ ابْتَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ قَالَ إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. Then it was said to him, we are going to make you the leader of mankind. So this is the philosophy of life, human life, and especially the purpose of this chunk of our life, very small chunk, very limited chunk of our very, very, very long life that we are passing in this world. The purpose of this is only testing. You know that the terminology of Darwinian theory, struggle for existence, survival of the fittest. Here also, there's going to be survival of the fittest. Survival in the right sense. Going to Jannah, in the place of divine grace, only who proves to be fit for it, here in this world. یہ گھڑی محشر کی ہے تو عرصہ محشر میں ہے. پیش کر غافل عمل کوئی اگر دفتر میں ہے. You have to prove your mettle here. الدنیا مزرعت الآخرہ. So that was actually which I wanted to say about these آیات. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُم مُّصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون. اللهم ربنا اجعلنا منهم. And now we have come into the second lesson. The second lesson of our fifth part of this course of study consists of 15 ayat from the beginning of Surah Al-Ankabut. I want to give you briefly a historical background of these ayat. Because here actually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing and relating to us. And he was addressing the Ahl-e Iman, the faithful of that time, regarding the persecution that was coming their way. And because this is the central theme of this whole of the surah, but we have included only 15 ayat from the beginning, and then there will be some selected ayat inshallah later on, but they are the essence, most important part of these 15 ayat. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started his preaching. Wahi came to him. For the first 3 years, the preaching and call of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was from person to person only. Some people commit a very big blunder when they say it was underground. No, not for a single day it was underground. It was never secret, never underground. It was open from the first day. But for the first 3 years, it was, as you know, the PP call, person to person. His close relatives, his friends, people who knew him due to his business that he was conducting before. So person to person, personal call, during this period, the resentment from the Quraysh, the Kuffar, their opposition or persecution was number one, only verbal. No physical persecution. He seems to become a poet. Oh. He seems to have lost his mental balance. He must have learned some magic from somewhere. Sahib. Somebody has done magic on him. Mas'ud. All these things being said verbally. No physical persecution. Secondly, the persecution was only to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not to any other Muslim. Because people didn't think that it can be a threat to their system, their interests, their positions. It seemed to them an eccentric person. He has started, he has had some vision, maybe some evil spirit has overtaken him, possessed him. Jinn, Majnoon has two meanings. On whom a jinn has come and a jinn has possessed him. Majnoon from jinn. And Majnoon one who has lost his mental balance. And it has two meanings. Innaka la Majnoon. Ya ayyuhallazi nuzzila alayhi zikru. Innaka la Majnoon. Oh you who thinks that something is coming to him from the heavens. We think that you have either been possessed by some evil spirit, by some jinn, or you have lost your mental balance. Just as the people today say, these were the hallucinations. Hallucinations. Wahi was the hallucinations. Nothing else. The same word. The same idea. So actually, we can interpret in those ways. They wanted to kill the will of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If they kill of the da'i, if they can kill the will of the da'i, there's no use of persecuting any other person. The whole thing will die out, fade out. So number one phase was that the persecution was only verbal, and number two, it was only centered at the person of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No physical persecution, no verbal persecution even to any of his followers. That is defined in the Quran, in the early surahs. For 18 times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in singular pronoun. Fasbir, wasbir. Not isbiru, not the plural. Fasbir, 18 times. Wale rabbika fasbir. Fasbir le hukm rabbik. And out of these 18 times, 4 times. Wasbir ala ma yakuluna wahjurhum hajran jameela. وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَزِيقُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ. You very well know, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is hurting you. What they are saying about you is hurting you. Your chest shrinks on listening to these things. These people who love me like anything, who gave me the names, title, As-Sadiq Al-Amin. Today they are saying that I am telling a lie. Sahirun Kazzab. How come? So this was the first phase. Near the end of the third year of the beginning of his mission, the command came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is there in Surah Al-Hijr. Fasda bima tumar. Now proclaim publicly, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what you have been ordained and bidden. Not from person to person, now public. And you know he held his first public meeting when he stood on Mount Safa and he called Wa Sabaha, and people ran to him from everywhere, every direction. Because that was the cry of danger. Tribal cry of danger. Wa Sabaha! How bad a morning that is coming and awaiting for us. Wa Sabaha! And people ran there. And then he, you know, presented his message. Abu Lahab said from the congregation, audience, Tabban laka lihaza jama'atana. Woe to you. For this purpose you called us. We thought there was some very important news. Anyhow, from this point, now physical persecution started. The reason of physical persecution was that the Quraysh saw that their youth were being attracted towards Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's a red signal. Our future hopes, they are gathering around Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And worse than that, our slaves are going to him. It is just like a store of gunpowder. And fire is going near that. They are slaves. The downtrodden. The people, you know, treated like animals. If they rise up in revolt against us, what will happen to us? So that was actually the beginning of physical persecution that started in the end of the third year, reached its zenith in the fourth and fifth year after the beginning of the Wahi. This physical persecution, please note a few points about it. This physical persecution was the least for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because his family protected him. Abu Talib, he became the chief of the clan of Banu Hashim after the death of Zubair. After the death of the grandfather of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abdul Muttalib, he also loved him like anything. The orphan grandson. Then Zubair, he was actually the protector. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was brought up by Zubair, not by Abu Talib. It was after the death of Zubair bin Abdul Muttalib that now the chief of the house of Banu Hashim was Abu Talib. He also loved him like anything. He protected. This tribal society, protection of the family, it becomes a very big protection. And that is why this physical persecution in Mecca was the least to the person of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The worst that came to him was at Taif, in the 10th year after the beginning of Wahi. But at Mecca, there are a few incidents which have been reported, but they seem to be after the death of Abu Talib. Before the death of Abu Talib, nobody could touch him. Because it was thought to be very dangerous. That if fighting starts between the different clans of the tribe of Quraysh, a house divided amongst itself cannot stand. So our tribal strength, you know, that will be eroded and corroded. So that became a very big protection for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We shall continue this in the next session. أقول قولي هذا أستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات.